Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and a happy new year! It's the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betway on Football Ramble Daily. David Moyes was back with a bang. Arsenal were looking better, and the third round of the FA Cup is upon us.
Everybody, that is the year. We're in the 20s. Very strange to think of it like that, of course.
I like it.
My name is Marcus. His name is Jim. His name is Luke.
We're all just flappers.
Yeah, we are
in
flappers.
In the 20s.
Flapping around.
Yeah, flapping all over the place.
It's good. We know what to call the decade again for the first time in 20 years.
And I think that's going to give us an anchor point to make sure the next 10 years aren't going to be as mad as, say, the last five have been.
I think normal's over now.
Is it? Are we in the new normal now?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Your normal's over, Jim. It's just getting started for others, of course.
All right. I don't know what that means. It's got a chilling air to it, though.
There are things that are bigger than you going on, pal.
No.
Mm-hmm. And the FA Cup's one of them.
Yeah, I can't argue with that.
Is the FA Cup bigger than Jim Campbell? I'm going to say yes, but regular and loyal listeners of this show may disagree.
They could do.
Yeah.
Jim Campbell's fan club is quite ferocious when they get going.
He's a weird man.
It takes them a while to get going because they're a bit old now, aren't they?
Yeah.
Oh,
they need to have a sit down.
How dare you? Jim appeals to all the demographics, as does
strange beginning.
As does the FA Cup, Jim.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
Stop trying to make it about yourself, Campbell.
Sorry, shut up, Jim. For goodness sake.
Because at 16 minutes past six on Sunday evening, Gillingham host West Ham. And we begin with West Ham.
Can we begin with 16 minutes past six? Why is this?
It's part of the Heads Up campaign. The football community want to raise awareness around mental health, so they're asking people to take an extra minute to think about their emotional well-being and their mental health and all the rest of it.
I quite like it.
I think it's been spearheaded by Prince William, hasn't it? Duke of Cambridge. Duke of Cambridge, isn't he? I think he's been spearheading it. There was something in the news and one of the papers the other day on the front page. Might have been the Daily Mail. Might have been yesterday.
Never.
Where he said that he was really proud to be part of this campaign, and that's why it's happening, Jim, to answer your question.
Well, they're all kicking off 1 minute after
exactly.
the usual slot.
That's good.
It's not just that one. But of course, yes, West Ham will be away to the Gills. They hammered Bournemouth 4-0. David Moyes back in charge. My goodness, eh? That's the stuff, Moyesy.
Isn't it interesting how all this stuff goes on?
All this
sports science, all this tactics, and all that stuff's important, but you know, you grab your Nigel Pearsons, your David Moyeses, Your ferrymen.
Brits are back, baby.
Your big Duncan Ferguson. That's not where I was going with it, Marcus, but I was almost certain that's where you would go with it. And also Mikel Arteta as well, saying, what you're going to have to do here, everyone, is you're going to have to try really hard.
And
that'll give yourself a better chance.
Absolutely.
And it's worked.
For now.
I should correct myself from when we were talking about the ferryman thing the other day. Because originally, I believe I said that David Moyes was the man who ferries teams from the land of the living, the Premier League, to the land of the dead, the Championship, even though the Championship's quite good. I said it the other way around the other day, so I should just correct that, because it was actually
a lot more disrespectful than
I made it out to be.
But your ferocious fan group, they shield you in times like that, don't they, when people have a go at you?
Apparently.
I think that's harsh on Moyes. I don't think he does get teams relegated. Sunderland went down, but did they go down on his watch? I can't quite remember.
I believe
so. I mean, he was
that's the point I'm making.
He made a fair prediction, of course, at the start of Sunderland, but I'm
going to stick my neck out here and say there might have been wider forces at play than just David Moyes.
Absolutely.
Given that's what happened to Sunderland consequently.
Very much so.
4-0 win at home, though. I mean, it can't get better than that, can it?
No,
it just can't.
And that's a fair shout. I mean, Bournemouth obviously are not in good licks themselves. But you're right. When a manager goes, and it's Pellegrini, who's a decent coach.
Yeah.
We know what he's, you know, he won trophies at Man City and so on. When there's a change and that happened, you get that reaction. Mm. Again, it's the old sort of, well, I say the old, the kind of more newer cliches, if you like, of you look at the players and you think, were you trying under Pellegrini? I mean, but then, of course, we've all worked under managers at times where you are completely demotivated. I mean, there were stories that Noble was having a go at Pellegrini in a training match where he basically stops and said, this is why we're losing every week.
Wow.
And is this kind of thing? That was just a report, you know.
But I think there's probably a bit of truth in that, because I've heard on the grapevine on more than one occasion that the big issue has been a lack of real kind of motivation. If you speak, I know it's not the be all and end all, but if you speak to people who go to the press conferences, they're like, oh, another Pellegrini press conference. He is the quietly spoken, no energy.
Yeah.
He's not really got a huge amount of charisma. And of course, football and other complicated things are much more important than just that. But it's a good place to start.
Yeah.
And you feel that like, I want to sound like an old, white, boring British guy, but like, put the players in the right positions, give them a bit of motivation, give them a bit of encouragement, and you might find that you're a much better team than Bournemouth.
Absolutely.
Particularly at home.
Yeah, I mean, I think as well with Pellegrini, particularly in his Premier League experience, he's used to being in a situation where his players are some of the best players in the league. Now, with respect to West Ham, they have a very talented squad, but that's not the case, is it? They're going to be the underdogs in a lot of games, whereas with City, that was a lot rarer. So the sort of possession-based game he was trying to play with them, I don't know, it just got very boring, didn't it? It just got very, very underwhelming for everybody involved. So I think the players being sort of, I don't know, just having a bit of freedom to express themselves within, I don't know, within their own skill sets a bit more.
I feel that sometimes it's horses for courses sometimes, isn't it, with managers.
Quite.
And with Pellegrini, if I feel that you can't just look at the manager in these circumstances. I suppose I'm bringing in West Ham, but there are a number of circumstances here. And footballers are different now to what they were 20, 30 years ago. Managers having long stints are few and far between. That's not just players. There's a number of reasons, of course. But footballers are different. That's quite clear. A lot of managers will say that. Jose Mourinho certainly does. But with some managers, like you say, you've mentioned a few there, Luke, moments earlier, where they come and it's like, right, lads, can we start trying, please? And they go, oh, yeah, we quite like this. And then that seems to work for a bit. And then they go, well, a bit bored because you don't have much tactics. And then they down tools a bit. And then that manager, you need someone like Pellegrini to come in who's a little bit more tactically aware, perhaps, blah, blah, blah. And I think there's an element of that going on.
I don't know if West Ham were playing possession football, as Jim said, under Pellegrini. I mean, they're 12th for possession percentage and they're 12th for pass completion percentage. I don't really know what type of football they were trying to play. But there's an interesting article around Arteta and Arsenal after this Man United game, where the Arteta was making out that the reward is the work, right? The reward is the work. You work really hard and you try your best and you work as hard as you can in whatever employment environment you're in. And the reward itself is that you come out of it thinking, do you know what? I couldn't have done any more there. Mm. And if we lose the game, okay, we've been beaten by a better team. But if we win a game, because of our hard work, we feel much better about it. And I think there's a bit of that going on with West Ham. Right. Do you know where else it's happened? Southampton. When they got pumped 9-0 at home by Leicester, there was talk of Hasenhüttl losing his job, as you'd expect. They stuck with him. Why did they stick with him? Because at the club, they felt like it's a problem with the players. It's a problem with the culture. And this is a make or break moment for that team and what they're going to do. And they've seemed to have bucked up. And it's credit to them. They had a, you know, obviously had a good result at the weekend. And Hasenhüttl wasn't seen as someone who was to blame for that. But in this case, maybe it's come from the very top at Pellegrini and they needed someone to come back in there and do a good job. And I thought we did a balanced job on Monday of talking about Moyes. We didn't say, oh God, he's just this basic Sam Allardyce kind of get you out of relegation trouble guy. He's had a sustained period of decent success at Everton. He's worked with big players before. There's nothing to suggest that he may not be able to kind of improve them, West Ham, this season, because they've got good players and they've spent money on good talent.
Can I just jump in there and say, Sam, I don't actually think, and maybe you just sort of plucked him, so I don't want to, I don't actually think Sam Allardyce is that basic. I think Sam Allardyce is a mid-table Premier League manager, which is an incredibly high thing to achieve. Yeah. But yeah, go on, Jim, what were you going to say?
I was just going to say, David Moyes has done this before, hasn't he, in this exact situation. And he said he's inheriting a better squad. It's an interesting one. Yeah, I mean, it's a split between Gold and Sullivan, isn't it, in their opinions of him. And I think it's very interesting, actually, that they have appointed him again. It's potentially slightly awkward, but I think he's going to do well. I mean, even before this result, I thought that. But
Jim, he's come home.
4-0.
He has come home,
hasn't he? Bournemouth, though, looks...
He's home.
Bournemouth looked terrible.
Yeah,
Bournemouth looked like they were from a lower division.
Bournemouth are in big trouble at the moment.
It's the first time they've been in the relegation zone for 2 years.
Yeah.
Bournemouth, which is a weird stat.
It is. Well, how are they going to respond? We shall see. What about that Sebastian Allaire?
Oh, it's lovely.
Yeah.
Little bicycle.
You've described it as an overhead kick in the running order, and I'd like to take issue with that.
Well, I just said it's a bicycle kick there.
It's a Mark Hughes dictionary definition side bicycle kick, I'd say.
Yeah, which is what the listeners heard me say.
Yeah, fine.
Can you have a side bicycle kick?
No, I just made that up.
Yeah.
The thing is, a bicycle kick, I think, has been misconstrued over the years, because a bicycle kick used to be the action of your feet pedaling like a bike.
Yes. Yeah.
So like that.
When you go one and then the other,
but the side one isn't really a bicycle kick.
No, that's more a scissor kick.
If you go
scissor, yeah, I don't mind that.
All right, you can have a scissor.
Yeah, it's a good.
We know where we stand with an overhead kick.
Yes,
and it's a bonus if you can almost kick the defender's head off as well.
Oh yeah. Absolutely, yeah. Mark Noble among the goals. I love that new coach came along and Mark Noble's like, right, I'm going to begin the scoring, even though it was a bit of a lucky one.
If Mark Noble is ghosting past you with a bit of trickery to win a penalty and then scoring said penalty, which he's very reliable at.
Cheeky Cockney charm.
Yeah, you're in trouble.
I said they're in trouble, and I meant it, Luke Moore.
Yeah.
Yes, of course. So there we are. They're away to Gillingham. Now, Gillingham are no mugs. They're unbeaten in seven. Got a very... very credible point at home to Portsmouth on New Year's Day. Any point against Portsmouth is credible.
On the 1st of January 2001, I went Fratton Park to see Portsmouth v Gillingham.
0-0.
And I think it was, and I'm invite people to email show at footballaroundtheday.com to challenge me on this. I think it was the worst game of football that's ever been played at a professional level.
Right.
It made me very, I thought to myself at that point, I went through such an existential crisis in the second half that I thought, I am actually fucking wasting my time here being a football fan and, you know, more specifically a Portsmouth fan. So I can't see a Gillingham v Portsmouth or a Portsmouth v Gillingham fixture without thinking, oh, I don't want to be involved in this in any way.
Mm.
And then for Portsmouth to get pegged back after they should have won the game was disappointing. Allied to the fact that I think that Gillingham's got a decent claim as being the worst town in Britain, I think this is quite a tricky tie for West Ham because they might just be lured into such a difficult situation where they lose the will to live just by playing against Gillingham. And I have got nothing more to say on this.
Will they be attacked by the feral troglodyte locals?
Nothing more to say. Nothing more to say, Jim.
I'm afraid you're going to have to say more.
No one ever about me.
We're going to have to put football to one side for a moment.
Yeah. Those are my favourite bits.
Gillingham is the worst town in Britain, is what you said.
I said it had a decent claim.
A decent claim.
And if people want
to... Who else would you put in the mix there?
I think Folkestone's bad. I think...
So you're just staying in the Kent area.
There's a couple of places.
Not a big fan of Kent.
Why is that?
Well, listen, show it football...
Why not throw Thanet in there as well while you're at it?
I don't think I've ever been there.
Have you not?
No.
They probably didn't let you.
No, yeah. Show it footballramaday.com to tell me your nominations for the worst town in Britain and why.
Why Gillingham?
Kent is an interesting one.
Garden of England, Jim. Come on, have it, a bit
it
of respect.
Is, some parts of it are beautiful.
Yeah. Why do you hate Gillingham?
I'm not going to go into it.
All right.
Some parts of Kent are beautiful, and let me just say that for the record.
Mm. There's a place in Kent called Faversham where they have this this hop festival, and it's a beer festival that goes on all day. And I was down there doing the show because they have a fringe there, and it was great, and it was really lovely, but it was also practically feral because it was an all day beer festival. there was a woman on the train who must have been sort of mid 40s with sort of beetroot bleached hair with the word bitch tattooed down the back of her neck, and I thought, oh, I might be in for a rough afternoon,
Jim.
But they were lovely, to be fair.
I was going
to
say,
and that's how you make your second wife.
Yeah, don't ever go at your fan group, okay? Is what I'm saying.
Jim's got a big. I didn't know. I wasn't aware of how big Jim's fan group was until.
Yeah,
this
they've
show.
All got bitch tattooed
news
on their
to me, to be honest.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, I think maybe they think I'm you.
They call themselves the Campbells.
I wouldn't know.
Okay, right.
Marcus appears to be the very
treasurer?
Knowledgeable about
the
it.
The treasurer of the fan club.
Go with
they
it.
They should
man.
call them that though.
For crying out loud. Yeah, West Ham away to Gillingham. I mean, before Moyes came in, you'd think, oh. They're in trouble there, but surely they're going to go through to the next round.
I feel like people from Gillingham should email in as well and defend their town.
I've no doubt they will.
But will they be able to use their club-like hands to do that?
Yeah, maybe. Who knows?
You know who's from Gillingham?
Yeah.
Steve Winky Watson.
I've got nothing more to say. I love Winky, but you know as well as I do exactly what he's like. The man fell down a quarry drunk. Yeah. He knows exactly what he's like.
Yeah, that's enough of a peek behind the curtain that you need as well. Yeah. The man fell into a quarry while drunk.
We'll put a photo of him up on the socials.
I love that man.
Good anyway. Winko. Good old Winko.
That's the Winko that he's put... And enough of that shit. Sorry, everybody. FA Cup. One of the bigger ties of the round, of course, is Wolves at home to Manchester United.
Mm.
Wolves will raise their game for this because, as you said the other day, Luke, on the podcast, Wolves are Hollywood. Proving this when they lost 2-1 away to Watford.
Yeah, not bothered.
I know it's Nigel Pearson's Watford, but still, Wolves are a better side and Watford played the last 20 minutes with 10 men.
Watford deserved the credit. They played well. They're in a great bit of form.
Resurgent.
I mean, next time there's a round of Premier League fixtures, they can find themselves out the relegation zone, which given that people were writing them off just a few weeks ago, is an amazing testament.
Yep.
But Wolves have done really well. They are going to finish high up the table this year. They might even fancy a tilt at the Cup. They've obviously got the Europa League as well. But there's an element to them that they don't like playing shit teams.
And it's a shame because if they did, they would challenge for fourth.
They're doing the hard part really well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know what you mean.
I mean, having said that, they were beating them. I mean, to be fair, they lost to Liverpool, but they only narrowly lost to them.
Well, they shouldn't. I mean, with the goal with the VAR.
We talked about that, yeah.
Of course we did. But they had a few moments. I mean, they were one of the few teams that have gone to Anfield. Now, I know Liverpool have been phenomenal, obviously, and they ground out and, you know, you win when you're on the rope slightly and so on. And, you know, at some point you have to not win a game. But still, Wolves, you know, one of the few teams that really had a decent go at it. But, of course, came up without any points. But they're playing Manchester United, who were away to Arsenal.
Mm.
And they lost to Arsenal.
They did.
How Man United fifth?
Well, I know.
Sometimes you watch them and you think, this is one of the worst teams I've ever seen.
The Premier League, it does
it's
not...
It's a mad season.
Apart from the first spot with Liverpool roasting away and Man City and Leicester making a good fist of it. Well, Man City, by their own lofty standards, are not having a great season, but they're still having a decent season compared to some of the other teams. And Leicester, obviously,
and I also feel like
the rest of it are just it's mad.
Well, Chelsea have been in horrendous form, largely.
Well, Chelsea,
and they're
Spurs,
still fourth.
Chelsea, Spurs and Manchester United are still in there.
They've been fourth for about 2 months,
I know.
Chelsea.
But then you have Sheffield United knocking around there. You know, one or two others, you think, madness. Mm. Absolute bloody madness.
A lot of teams in what you might call transitional periods. Like a lot of them.
Would
I think
you say Arsenal?
Very much
I think football's in a transitional period.
Yeah.
The whole sport is.
Mm.
Look at VAR.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Look at other stuff's going on.
UEFA Nations League.
Yeah. You know, Gillingham.
Jamie Vardy.
Yeah. Everything's a transitional.
Well, and you can't spell Vardy without the word VAR, of course.
Exactly.
Or die.
Meth.
Or ard.
Yeah, we could go on for another moment.
Not
or two.
Really, because there's only five letters.
Arsenal were much better, Jim.
They were.
Arteta.
Yeah, I was very, very. It was a relief, really, to see a good performance from Arsenal. It was comfortably the best performance of the season. I thought every Arsenal player played well. They clearly knew what they were doing. They had a plan. Arteta looks just really focused. And as Luke was saying, so much of it is about just making them run harder and making them just.
Headline should be man coaches team.
Yeah, it really should. Yeah.
Is his statue finished yet? Or is it just being buffed out?
They'll be bronzing it on him right now, I would think. Yeah. Sort of Han Solo type way. But
the little message he gave after the game? Thanking everybody?
What was it?
Arteta. I mean, just this very simple message. Just thanks for your passion or whatever he said. You know,
he also threw Xhaka under a bus.
Oh, did he?
Saying he's definitely staying. And Xhaka might, I don't know, I mean, presumably knows more about the situation than I do.
You know what? I like this though, because he's playing bad cop. He's just a one man bad cop. He's like, I want you to stay, so I'm just going to tell everyone you are. So if you don't like it, shut up.
Yeah.
I like, we need a bit of that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Do you think he went around every single player saying, shut up? Shut up.
I hope so.
But in different languages, because he's probably quite skilled in that area.
Yeah, he probably is. Yeah.
Absolutely.
What about Nicolas Pepe? I mean, already paying off that 72 million.
He looked like the player that he looked like on YouTube in the summer, really. And it was really, really good display from him. I just enjoyed it a lot. It was nice to just enjoy a game.
You could hear the Arsenal fans, like hearing them chanting their team and singing away, and you thought, oh yeah,
I knew these players were good.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people have said that actually, you know, Arsenal weren't that good. It's just that Man United were bad. And there is definitely an element of that. United were very, very sluggish, very slow. But, you know, Arsenal beat them to, you know, most balls. First half, particularly. But the second half, they sat off Man United a lot, which I think was a deliberate thing because of perhaps fitness issues that David Luiz spoke about after the game. But I was just impressed that they set out to control a game in a more defensive manner and actually managed to do it. They looked a bit more confident and comfortable in that defensive phase, and that was encouraging.
They were taking it easy, and why the hell not?
And Mesut Ozil was fantastic and ran a lot and ran hard. Yeah. So, all very good. More of it.
All against, you know, 2-0 win against the side who are currently fifth in the Premier League is always a good thing.
But definitely. This makes me think, though, I mean, this makes me think Man United are probably quite vulnerable against Wolves, but they need a cup run, I would think, United. They just need some positivity in their season, don't they? So if they go out now, this will be a bit of a disaster for Solskjaer, I would think.
Quite possibly, yeah. Well, it's one of the tastier ties of the round, of course. The tastiest, perhaps, is probably Liverpool versus Everton. But Wolves versus Manchester United will certainly turn a few heads. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's have some emails with Jim Campbell. Jim.
Well done. Has anyone seen Pete?
No.
Is he coming? Is he back on Monday?
I thought it was like a planned absence. Is he AWOL again?
Oh, he planned it, I'm sure. He's back on Monday.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Take it away.
Just when I played that and I heard his voice, I thought, I haven't actually heard from Pete for a while. What's he doing? Yeah, sorry, Jim.
Nice to hear from him.
Yeah.
Okay, so hello, chaps. I am sorry to drag the footballer food puns out anymore, but as Tim Weston's aforementioned former flatmate, I can confirm pervert. That is all. Oh. Thanks, Adam Dunnett.
So this is the guy who did the Laughing Falcao, which I'll be honest, over Christmas depressed me, and some other footballer food based puns around a dinner party, and now his flatmate's got in touch calling him a pervert.
Yes.
His flatmate called Adam Dunnett says that he's a pervert.
Yeah. I mean,
what a dirty situation. Is this your fan club, Jim?
It's our fan club.
You're as much involved.
You've cultivated this as much as I have.
Oh,
don't back out now.
Yeah, Marcus, why aren't the emails better?
I don't know.
It's almost like we've left an absolute idiot in charge of them for the last 5 years. And now they're some kind of untended, dusty corner of the empire.
Well, let's have a call to arms now. Come on, people.
Well, we're going to get a lot of Gillingham ones, aren't we?
We got a lot of Gillingham ones, and a lot of Arsenal fans moaning when they come back down to earth at home to Leeds on Monday.
Shut up.
Yeah. Do you know what I'm going to find refreshing? If a couple of people just email going, Gillingham, it's not that great.
Yeah.
But well, I don't think we're going
to
see that.
Don't try and get people to email in on your side.
Yeah,
if Pete is back next week, and he may or may not be, we don't know. He's not going to let
he's not going to listen to the show.
No.
And two, he's not going to know what hit him when he sees a load of emails about Gillingham, about what else about...
I mean, his hometown might get a mention. The way he
Hartlepool.
Talks...
The way...
Let me finish. The way he talks about it, he might email in himself.
Well, as if you would ever lower yourself to going to Hartlepool. Mr. Home Counties.
What are you talking about?
Have you been to Hartlepool? Surrey.
I've been to... I don't know if I've been to Hartlepool. I've been to Sunderland, which is up that way.
Was that an official visit?
And...
Cutting a ribbon?
And I'm always...
Hello, I've come to collect your taxes.
I'm opening a Pizza Express.
I always bring my left-handed scissors with me, just in case.
Don't run with them. Or any sharp
implement. No, absolutely not.
Any more emails, Jimbo?
Nope, that is it.
Oh, blimey.
Fucking hell. Do email in, then.
It is... I mean, we have had New Year's, so maybe everyone's still asleep.
You haven't emailed footballrambledaily.com and no one because there's none.
Right, ladies and gentlemen, let's go for a quick break.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Welcome back to the preview show on Football Ramble Daily, sponsored by Betway, everybody. Right then, back into the FA Cup. We've got some potential banana skins.
Oh, I love a potential side. Banana skin.
Absolutely. Right, I'm going to start with my own fave, Fulham at home to Aston Villa. Aston Villa, they beat Burnley. Good win.
Jackie Grealish in the mix up.
Grealish again.
I
know some Villa fans say, oh, you know, everyone always talks about Grealish. But with that hair, with those legs,
he has
and
legs.
With those goals, Jim, you've got to talk about him.
Sorry, I was just going to say he has legs.
Yeah.
No, he's got legs like Popeye's arms.
You know what I mean?
His legs are massive.
Do you remember when Bob DeMello told us about John Hartson's calves?
Yeah.
I can never stop.
Nobody knows who Bob is.
It doesn't matter.
Steve Winky Watson is.
They know that he's going to be a friend of ours.
Let's talk about Tiggy Rainbow while we're at it.
Well, listen, good for him to get a mention. Tiggy Rainbow, of course. He played in the FA Vars final, Tiggy Rainbow.
It feels like the last day of term.
Yeah.
We're going to play Monopoly in a minute.
I don't know, yeah.
So Bob DeMello, they don't need to know who he is. He's someone we know. I don't want to throw him under a bus. But he always talks, whenever I see a chunky pair of calves, I saw one on my run yesterday, a guy just obviously breezed past me. I was like, oh, he's got big calves. Bob DeMello said that he used to work somewhere John Hartson would frequent.
Yes.
And he said that John Hartson's little party trick after a couple of beers was he'd roll his trousers up and show his calves.
A couple of beers.
Yeah, and Bob DeMello said they were the biggest calves he's ever seen, like a joint of ham under some cling film, and just looking at them made him feel sick. So every time I think of Jack Grealish now, I instantly think of John Hartson's calves.
Is that the future for Grealish, do you think?
Maybe. He just keeps working on his calves over and over again.
I don't think Jack Grealish is of a similar build to John Hartson.
No, and I don't think Jack Grealish's are as big as Hartson's were.
Grealish's are, I'm going to say, sexy.
Yeah, he looks good.
They're powerful.
That's why he rolls his socks down, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Showing off, isn't it?
I appreciate it, certainly.
If that guy who punched him in the head punched him in the calf, he'd have broken his hand.
I don't want that.
He'd have broken his hand.
Yeah, none of that nonsense. But they're away to Fulham, of course. Villa. I mean, they're 17th, 1 point above Bournemouth.
You were at Fulham on New Year's Day, weren't you?
I was. Otherwise known as the Charlie Adams Show.
Yeah.
34-year-old Charlie Adams.
Been running since 1954, that guy. Judging by the look of him. Did he look up at the bottom of a hill?
I think so, yeah. He had a very tough paper round. Two shots from about the halfway line.
Right.
Remember he always shot?
Oh, yeah,
Jamie Carragher used to mind, didn't he, at Liverpool?
It's like his wrestling move, isn't it?
It is.
Very much so.
But he got the winning goal.
From the halfway line?
No, it was an uncharacteristic tapping.
Oh.
So what's he doing that close to the goal? But he got it. Fair play to him. But yeah, Charlie Adam just chugging around the park. I mean, he looks a lot older than 34. But
we've made very clear.
Yeah. But
how old would you say he looks? Would you say he looks older than me?
Oh, easily.
He looks older than you and Jim?
Yes, put together.
I feel slightly I feel slightly uncomfortable about sort of, you know, criticising a person for how they look.
And especially as they're a professional athlete.
But it is quite amazing just how much older he looks now than when he was in the Premier League.
No, but I think like when he walked out on the pitch, it was kind of like, oh, that he kind of sticks out a little bit because often, you know, your players are quite young and so on. But then, of course, he pops up with the winner, you know, some nice touches. You think, there's old Charlie doing the business. I mean, his corners are worth 15 million. At least.
I don't think it's anything vicious, Jim. I think it's just, I'm sure he's a lovely fella. He's a great football player.
No, but
great
we're
career.
Praising him, saying he got the winning goal and blah, blah, blah. But anyway, Fulham.
But Fulham have kind of been, I mean, I saw them the game before. You saw them New Year's Day. Presumably, it was more of the same from them. They're not in great nick at the moment.
It's a funny one. I mean, they're in the playoff spots, but with the front line they have, I mean, I don't know. Yeah, should they be bothering the top two? Probably a little bit more, they would say. Scott Parker said after the match, he was like, I was there scratching my head again, saying, how were we 1-0 down and then 2-0 down? And it's true. But the thing is with Fulham, despite having, I mean, Mitrovic and like Cavallero's
a streaky player though. He can be very frustrating.
I mean, he scored a nice goal against Reading. Yeah, yeah. Sorry. he is a streaky player, but he can produce moments, and Knockout can produce moments as well. So they have a good front three, and they have some good players in there. But ultimately, you know, you can get at them. And with Villa, yes, it's a potential banana skin, but at the same time, Villa do have some decent attacking players.
Well, I saw Fulham against Stoke, and they closed out the win narrowly, as I said. But Stoke went to Huddersfield last game out and smashed them, and Huddersfield aren't very good, but. Maybe I was being a bit harsh on Fulham there. Maybe Stoke were a little bit better than I thought they were because they had a lovely old time against Huddersfield.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a potential one. What about Spurs away to Middlesbrough?
Yeah, Middlesbrough have been resurgent, haven't they?
Well, they've been a little bit better recently, but Spurs are...
That's what resurgent means.
Yeah, well, I thought you were...
They've won four in a row.
Oh, well, fair enough, okay. Yeah. Well, they've been resurgent, Jim.
Yeah.
But Spurs, their resurgency ended quite... soon, didn't it, after Mourinho joined?
This is a little glimpse into season three, isn't it? Like a flash forward.
But I don't know. I don't think he's really got his claws into this side yet.
No. But aren't they... It's a very, very strange situation, this, because I think... I understand why people are piping up saying they're not doing very well, but his record since he's gone there is actually quite good.
Yeah. Well,
outside of Liverpool and... I forget, it's either Man City or Leicester. Haven't they returned 16 points in 8 games? They're actually doing okay. They weren't great against Southampton. They were very, very short of ideas, it looked like to me. They've got issues with recruitment. You wonder whether them doing that thing and not buying players in transfer windows is starting to come back and bite them now. The Ndombele thing's very concerning. I mean, he went off holding his knee and his groin.
Yeah, it's a shame.
Mourinho looked fuming about
it.
He said some funny things about it. I wonder whether Mourinho... I wondered if this would happen where Mourinho is such a serial winner, even if you criticise what he did at Man United, still won a European trophy, still won bits and pieces. You know? So he's a guy who wins all the time. Now, regardless of how good Spurs have been over the last few years under Pochettino, they've not won anything. And I wonder whether Mourinho looks at that team and goes, it's all very nice and you're all good players and stuff, but I fucking win stuff here. Yeah. In my career, and we're going to win stuff, and he's maybe getting a little bit frustrated because Kane went off with a hamstring as well. They've got a paper thin team, so I mean, I don't know what's going to happen. I thought Southampton were decent,
by the way. There's a really interesting way that Mourinho seems to act around injured players. John Terry apparently said that he used to ignore them.
That's right.
He said that they would. He'd walk straight past you if you're on the treatment table. And he's John Terry, he's the captain.
Jim, would you be hugely surprised to know that I heard reports that Roy Keane used to do that at the moment as well?
No.
Would that be a surprise to you?
No, actually, that would make me feel like everything is right with the world and that I understand things.
But I mean, Roy Keane is just looking at you as weak.
Yeah,
how
exactly.
on earth sort your muscles out? I don't care what.
Just grow another one.
Yeah,
you
right.
Coward.
Enough. But I can imagine though, Mourinho. There is there clearly is a bit of that, as John Terry was saying there. But what about the comments he made about Mike Dean?
That's great.
Two great people coming together. Two great men of football. Of course, he was shown a yellow card, and Mourinho said after the game, "I clearly deserved the yellow card. I was rude, but I was rude with an idiot."
It's so good. If you see the picture or see the footage of it, they actually sort of half hug as Mike Dean books him as well, which is just double box office.
Dean got confused about having to shake someone's hand. He didn't know who he was. Did you see that?
Yeah, that was great.
Who this was that? Like was when a corporate guest or something?
No idea.
It seemed a bit... Yeah, I looked around and I couldn't find who that was at the start of the game.
No, I didn't know it was.
If it's someone obvious, then forgive us.
Team Dean on that one.
Yeah, indeed. But Southampton, as you said, Luke, were excellent again. It's another good win. It's another goal for Danny Ings.
Yeah, and a beautiful goal as well. So, so well taken.
Euros, Jim.
Well, I was thinking that. That sort of form, it's hard to ignore. What are you guys' thoughts on his chances for a call-up?
I don't think he will get one ultimately, because I think the two main strikers will be Kane and Abraham. Southgate likes Wilson. I know Wilson's had his injury problems.
I'd take Ings over Wilson on this form.
You probably would, but will there be enough? Because, I mean, you know, Rashford, because he's going to play with one forward, and you have Kane and Abraham's the backup. And in the highly unlikely event both of them got injured, he'd probably play Rashford through the centre.
But I think that if Danny Ings carries on like this, he's going to end up with... He could end up with 25 goals this season.
Well, and for a team that are down in the relegation battle, you can't really argue with that. And if you're wondering, why are you talking about the Euros? It's a Euros year.
Exactly.
Come on.
Oh, you know what? That's the first time I've realised that. It's this year, isn't it?
I'm glad I broke it to you and your fan club.
Yes.
Yeah. So Spurs away to Middlesbrough. I mean, Borough, as you say, Luke Moore, they've won four in a row. They beat Preston North End with big Rudy Gested on the score sheet. Yeah. Who sort of... Was that an overhead kick? I don't know if you saw that. It certainly wasn't.
I haven't actually seen this goal, so I couldn't tell you.
Yeah. Imagine Rudy Gested doing an overhead kick. That's what it was.
Hard, yeah. I feel like I would have felt
very
that.
Difficult to imagine.
Yeah.
A disruption in the fourth.
Wait, balls into the box.
Ali Reza Yanbach scored an overhead kick, and it was an absolute beauty.
He did. It was an absolute peach.
Can I just say, I know I'm jumping ahead of the gun here, but I've genuinely got nothing to say about Middlesbrough or Preston. So with Ali Reza Yanbach, and Jim's shaking his head as well, I think he might be the nicest bloke in the Premier
League. Delightful man.
He just looks such a nice player. And when he scored that second, because we scored the first goal for Brighton, he got very emotional, we all saw that. Mm-hmm. When he scored the second goal, it was a beauty, obviously. Mm. The whole team went to him, even the keeper.
Yeah.
Matt Ryan ran all the way up there.
Yeah.
They obviously love him. And who was it? It was Neil Mopay who had to present him with the Man of the Match award.
Right, yeah.
And he said, it's a pleasure. It's an absolute pleasure.
Yeah.
And when Jahan Bakhsh was talking about how I've been working really hard in training, I've been training well, I felt like I was going to get my chance. You see, Neil Mopay was like nodding along.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they love him there. Well, he's a bloody handsome chap as well.
He's got a lot going for him. I wonder if there's, you know, an interesting backstory there. Perhaps he'll be interviewed in depth. If he already has, forgive me, I haven't seen it. But perhaps there's an interesting backstory there. You know, it'd be quite.
His English is perfect.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, he spent a lot of time in Netherlands, of course, so he probably honed his English then.
Yeah.
Mopay is a pleasingly stocky fellow as well, isn't he?
I think so.
He looks tough. He looks like he'd give you a hell of a run around.
Brighton at home to Sheffield Wednesday.
Yeah.
Banana skin.
Maybe.
I think they'll win 2-0 or 1 or 2-0 and it will be described as a professional job.
Yes.
Sheffield Wednesday are coming off of a bit of a bad run, but as ever with these types of fixtures that you've identified, Marcus, a big thing we should mention is it depends how the Premier League teams approach them.
Mm.
If you're a Brighton, I mean, of course you want to win the FA Cup and it's exciting times down there because they've changed the way they play and they're exciting to watch now compared to what they used to be like. But you want to stay in the Premier League, right? You've got that stadium. It's a new era for Brighton. They don't really want to go down. I don't think they will go down. But if he thinks to himself, I could do without this, sad as it sounds these days, that's more than football. It's kind of fair enough.
Yeah, I would say that you would... I think you can stay in both, I think.
Well, also because there's an absolutely ridiculous Christmas period.
Or are you using...
And then the FA Cup just comes along at the end of it.
Using Wigan as the precedent. For crying out loud, don't win the thing.
It can happen.
Otherwise we'll go
down. But, you know, someone was saying to me, I don't know the detail on this, but someone was saying to me that... it might have been Philippe Auclair was saying on Twitter that this idea that we play a ridiculous amount of football over Christmas in England hasn't always been the case. They used to play on two games in 3 days of around Christmas.
Yeah.
That was kind of it. And now, because of TV and because of the rest of it, this is what Philippe was implying, it's gone off the scale.
Yeah.
And off the back of a really difficult Christmas period, they now have these FA Cup games. It seems a bit relentless, so you wouldn't blame a coach for not maybe playing a very strong team.
Which is why Norwich away to Preston North End has got banana skin written all over it.
Yeah, at the same
Norwich
time,
Norwich are
though,
shit.
Norwich are shit.
Should have beaten Palace, though.
As we know. But for teams like Brighton and Norwich, and for those squads of players, realistically, we know they're not going to challenge for the Premier League. Of course they're not. So this is a chance to actually be in a competition where you think, you know what, we can have a go at this, and maybe if luck goes our way, you know, Wigan have done it in the past, other teams that are maybe a bit less, you would expect to win it less, have gone on and won it. So I don't know. I think it depends on the attitude of the players, doesn't it? It's so much down to the individual motivations in those squads.
I'm going to mention two more fixtures before we move on. Chelsea v Forest. Forest up in 4-3, wins on the bounce.
Mm.
Could they?
More on them in a minute.
Could they? or Crystal Palace at home to Derby. Could we see Wayne Rooney feature?
Yeah, that'd be great.
At the time of recording, the Derby Barnsley game hasn't been played, but there
he's
is
talk. Eligible from now.
He is,
but actually quite worrying. Story coming out of Derby today. I don't know if you guys saw it. The players weren't paid on New Year's Eve. They're supposed to be paid.
And they were. Are they paying Rooney that much?
There's been a delay. Wayne Rooney's part of his wages are being paid by a betting company, which we won't mention because we're sponsored by another betting company. But the club are saying that they're waiting for investment. It's going to be the pay is going to be sorted out. They said it's going to be sorted out today, but obviously we don't know that at the time of recording. So I wonder if that'll overshadow Wayne Rooney's
debut.
Yeah, they've had a difficult season, like Derby, really.
They have. Well, hopefully Wazza can get in there and inspire them.
Well, from a pure football point of view, I know he's been at the club training with them for a while. He's doing a bit of coaching as well. It will be good to see what level he's at.
I'm fascinated to see. Yeah. I really am.
I think he's going to tear it up in the Championship. I really do.
How many settings off between now and the end of the season?
Yeah.
I'm going to go. What, one? He's getting, one's a
you
safe bet.
One? No, I think he'll do all right. I think none.
Tougher paper round than Charlie Adam or
similar route, I'd say.
Yeah, I'd say so, yeah.
I think because he's always had that physicality, hasn't he? That's going to serve him well there.
I am delighted because I think you're right. I think he's got something left in the locker. I really hope we don't see him.
It'd be an emotional reunion with Roy Hodgson, won't it? After the things they've seen together. It's about two Vietnam veterans.
My goodness. All right, Luke, let's have Betway's Four to Score.
Let's do a bit of Betway's Four to Score. Yeah, so Four to Score entry is free. All you got to do is pick the first goal scorer in Betway's four selected matches each round. And if you're correct, this week you can win up to £150,000. One of our listeners actually got very close to it.
Yes.
He was waiting for Martial in the final game, which of course didn't happen. So it was Chris Foote. Yeah, shout out to Chris, who had predicted correctly Gabriel Jesus, Todd Cantwell and Mark Noble. Three really big shots. Well, yeah. Gabriel Jesus may be fairly obvious, but the others are pretty good shouts. Unfortunately, Anthony Martial, it's another person that Man United have let down this season. They didn't make it. So it's rolled over. £150,000. So yeah, betway.com/4to-score. That's slash the number four and then to score. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game, of course, and further T's and C's apply. We've picked one each. Jim, you've got Wolves, Man United, and I believe it's that man again.
Yes, I've gone for Raul Jimenez because sooner or later this is just going to... It's the law of averages, isn't it? It's going to happen. So I think I'm just going to keep... If I get Wolves, I'm going to keep going with him until he gets it because otherwise I'll feel like... I've screwed it up. I feel like if I don't pick him, it will happen.
Yeah, fine. That's all you have to say. Game two is Pete's. That's Chelsea v Nottingham Forest. I'll give you a clue. Have you already seen it? Yeah, yes. You've already seen it. He's gone for Samuel Olawosewi, Jussa Taromo, Amiobi.
Yes.
Sammy Amiobi. He's got to pick him.
I mean, he doesn't have to, though, does he? That's the thing. He really doesn't have to pick him.
No, but it's Pete, isn't it?
Yeah.
Normally, this is how passionate Pete was about picking Sammy Amiobi. I didn't even have to prompt him. Mm. And anyone who knows Pete knows when it comes to admin, you have to prompt him a lot.
What he needs is a good prompter.
He does. Palace v Derby I've got. Yep. I almost went for Wayne Rooney.
But I
thought, nah, I'm going to pride the averages. I'll go for Luka Milivojevic.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I've got Liverpool versus Everton, and actually, maybe I'm giving Pete enormous benefit of the doubt here. He was thinking, who would start for Chelsea? Because they may
mix it up a bit. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And I think Liverpool will do that. And I was thinking, who will do? I think Liverpool will win the game. But I thought, well, Everton, I think that they will have Richarlison and Calvert-Lewin probably in the side. Mm. Calvert-Lewin among the goals recently, of course. So I've gone Calvert-Lewin.
Fair enough. So that's just to sum up, it's Raul Jimenez, Sammy Amiobi, Luka Milivojevic and Dominic Calvert-Lewin are our four selections. If all those players score first in their respective games, we win £150,000 for charity, or at least a share of it. Go to betway.com/4to-score to play yourself. It's completely free to play, but you must be over the age of 18 to gamble, and do bet the responsible way.
Indeed. And looking ahead to the weekend, little mensch for Ian Holloway.
Oh, yes. He's taken over at Grimsby.
He was delighted. He said, I'm like a kid in a candy shop or something like that.
Yeah, I like the fact
lovely.
That
he's so enthusiastic.
So he had a 4-hour meeting over fish and chips with the owner of Grimsby before he agreed to take them on.
Yeah.
And the Grimsby Telegraph headline, batter the net.
Yes!
Nice.
Well, the Grimsby Town chairman said it turned out like it was Holloway interviewing him.
You'd expect that because Holloway is managed at a high level. So it'd be exciting to see how they get on. Their first, I think he was in the stands for the game they just had, but his first game officially in charge is against Mansfield at the weekend. So maybe we'll talk a bit about that on Monday.
Indeed, yeah. But Grimsby are struggling. But great to see Ian Holloway back in business.
Absolutely.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, now it's time for Luke's game. So the heat is on and the time is right. It's time for you, for you to play the game. These people are coming.
George.
Yeah, Luke's game. I haven't got my own jingle. No one likes me.
Pete's away working on it.
Last time around, we played this last Thursday, and Jim won 4-1.
Something win for Jim.
It was a landslide. Nah. Marcus, how do you feel going into this one?
I feel on the back foot, quite frankly.
Are you quite desperate to win?
I'm not desperate, because that puts you off your game. But I obviously want to win. Mm. But I've been humbled.
Jim, you don't give a shit, presumably.
I have very little competitive spirit. Yeah. So I know that.
So the way it works is, if you're new to this, maybe it's a new podcast for you for 2020. Mm. Welcome. You've probably got none of the jokes.
Yeah.
And we're about 40 minutes in.
You think they're this far in?
You're probably long gone. Mm. Yeah. But just in case you stuck around because you left it on the speaker and you're doing something else. The way it works is I give the guys a player. They auction and bid between themselves about how many of the clubs they can name. If they name the club successfully, first of all, they have to win the bid. But if they name the club successfully, they get a point. If they put one single toe wrong, the other person gets the point. It's high stakes.
Oh, yeah.
It's the best of five. And we're starting, because Jim is the running champion, with Jim this week.
Okay.
And the first player, Jim, I'd like you to bid on, he's played for 10 clubs in total,
ooh,
is your friend and mine, Teddy Sheringham.
Blimey. Ooh. Ready, steady, Teddy.
Yeah.
I think 4 straight away.
Well, open the bid with 4 and see if Marcus takes you on.
Just wonder. If,
I shouldn't be giving out tactics. No. I shouldn't. Sorry, that's poor by me. That's against the code.
I think Marcus will get more than that, though, is the thing.
You think a lot of me, Jim, but you beat me 4-1 last time.
5.
5, all right.
Yeah, I'll go with 5.
Marcus, can you do 6?
Well, I'm going to have to.
You're going to go for 6? You're not going to ask them to name them?
No, I'm going to go for 6.
All right, Jim, you want to go 7?
Nah.
Name them.
Millwall.
Correct.
Tottenham Hotspur.
Correct.
West Ham United.
Correct.
Manchester United.
Correct.
Now, this is the one where I might... Colchester United?
Correct. Well done.
And there's an obvious one I'm missing now, which is poor. And people are going to be shouting at me. England.
No, you can't have England. Got to name a club.
I do need to name
people
a
will
club.
Be shouting at you, Marcus, but what they need to remember is, in the heat of the studio and the pressure's on, it's a different game, isn't it? We could all hit 147 breaks in snooker when there's no one watching.
Yeah, I'm so annoyed with myself because Colchester's are one of those tough ones.
Yeah.
And I should be able to get another one, and I'm genuinely really struggling, and Jim's thinking, ha, 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 you should be naming this one.
Do you think I can't tell when you're filling for time? Because I can tell.
Okay.
One more club, I need you to name it.
I know you do.
Come on, just play.
Come on, Marcus.
Portsmouth.
Correct!
There we go.
There you go. There it is.
You could have had Nottingham Forest, of course.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Could have had Millwall. I'd have been very surprised.
No, I had Millwall.
He did have Millwall.
Oh, yeah,
there was a Dutch club, wasn't there?
He played for Swedish club.
Oh, Swedish club.
Djurgårdens.
Oh, Djurgårdens, yeah, okay.
And I'd been very surprised if you got the fact that he spent 5 games on loan at Aldershot in 1985.
Yeah, I wouldn't have that.
But you could have had Stevenage as well.
But Forrest, of course, he scored. Was it the first goal that was on Sky Sports?
Did he really? I don't know that. It's a good little stat.
I think that was him.
All right, Marcus. So that's 1 point to you. You will get to go first this game, this one. And the player, he's played for 6 clubs in total, just 6.
Yeah.
And it's Ruud Gullit.
Ruud Gullit.
Yeah.
Nice to hear his name.
Legend of the 80s and 90s. Although he started his career in the 70s, interestingly enough.
Did he?
Yeah. Started his career in 1979.
All right. I'll go for 3.
Jim?
I would. I'm not sure about 1, but I will go for 4.
Marcus, do you want to go 5 out of 6?
Mm.
That'd be too rich for me. I don't think I could do 5. Get him to name him. Put him on the back foot. Go on.
Oh, you shouldn't be dishing out tactics, apparently.
go on, Jimmy. Name 4.
So, Chelsea?
Correct.
AC Milan?
Correct.
Sampdoria?
Correct.
This one I'm not sure about. Ajax?
You're going for Ajax?
Yeah.
Incorrect, I'm afraid.
Was it PSV?
PSV, Feyenoord, or HFC Haarlem, you could have had.
Do you know what? That was the one. Yeah. Obviously, it was Dutch, and I was thinking, oh, is it Ajax or is it PSV?
That's 2 points for Marcus. He's 2 up of 3 to play. All right, Jim, your time to go first. I'll be honest, I did this last night, and when I opened my computer up this morning, I thought, it's quite hard now. The first two are fair enough. Two of the last three are very tough.
Uh-huh.
So, he's played for 7 clubs, Jim. Mm-hmm. You get to go first. He's been in the headlines a lot.
Here we go.
It's wee Davy Moyes.
Ooh, oh,
just blimey. Because we don't talk about him as a player.
Yeah.
You both look absolutely blank.
Bloody Nora.
I'm 2. One of them's a guess.
Okay, well, that's 2. It's a firm and fair bid of two, Jim. Don't be ashamed of that.
All right. Well, I'll go three then.
All right, Mark. Jim, presumably you're not going to go
nah.
four. No. So you need to name three clubs that David Moyes played for, crucially.
Preston and Celtic.
That's two, correct.
Yeah, so I knew those. And then I just thought, right, where am I going to go with this one then?
You said you're just going to get a club.
Oh, yeah.
Go for it then.
I mean, do I go for like a sort of a lower Scottish one?
This is for the win as well,
for the win. I'll go St Johnstone.
Incorrect, I'm afraid. That's a point to Jim.
I'd have gone Motherwell.
You'd have also been incorrect. Celtic, then Cambridge United. That's a fall from grace.
Yeah. Mm.
Celtic to Cambridge.
Yeah. Well, Cambridge
they were,
that
they were
bad.
Good then. They were good then.
It could have been, what, would that have been with Dion Dublin, maybe?
It's in the early 80s. Then Bristol City, then Shrewsbury Town, then Dunfermline Athletic. Short spell at Hamilton Academicals, Hamilton Accies, and then finished at Preston North End.
So I knew it was going to be one of those sort of Scottish clubs that have been in the top flight before, but a bit of a, yeah.
So okay. It's 2-1. 2-1. Jim, you're up.
Mm-hmm.
Yuri Djorkaeff.
Oh, good one.
Ooh. Nine clubs for Yuri.
Nine?
Bloody hell.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
He was a great player.
He was.
Really good.
What a player he was.
Should better name all his clubs then.
Yeah, right. For France, what a player.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, what an international servant he was.
Yeah.
I'm going to go three, but I'm not even confident on that.
It's so annoying when I think to myself, I should,
you know,
I
should know that.
I think I've got like three. Jim goes, I'll go three. And I'm like, oh.
Started his career in 1984, retired in 2006, 22-year career. Obviously lifted the World Cup with France.
In 98, he was in the squad.
Pretty sure he did, yeah.
I don't know if he featured that much, though. But he was a
great player.
All right, Jim. No, I'm going to go four.
Jim, you want five?
No.
Okay, Marcus, please name four clubs that the great Yuri Djorkaeff represented.
Bolton.
Correct. What a place to start.
Inter.
Correct.
PSG.
Correct.
Yeah. Monaco.
Correct.
Oh, well done.
What a win that
very
is.
Very good.
Great. That's 3-1.
I thought, do you know what? I thought that sort of split shirt Monaco. So I could see him.
He started at Grenoble, went to Strasbourg, then Monaco, then Paris Saint-Germain, then Inter, Kaiserslautern, Bolton, a little stint at Blackburn.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
And then he went to finish his career at New York Red Bulls. It's 3-1. Marcus, this would be absolutely sweet. If you could return this with a 4-1 one of your own.
We'd be level on aggregate.
Yeah, we would. We have to go to away goals. The final player, he's played for 8 clubs. It's a nice, easy one to finish off with. Who's going first to you this time, I think, Marcus?
Yeah.
8 clubs, Joe Cole.
Joey Cole?
Yeah.
Big Joe. Uh-huh.
Actually, sorry, do you know what? It's actually 7, not 8.
Okay, I'll go 4. Eight.
Yeah, I can definitely do 4.
I've said 4.
It's 7, yeah. Okay.
Oh, I'm going to have to go 5, aren't I?
You want 6?
No, I've said 4.
Yeah, but he said 5.
Oh, so what you mean. Now you go the 5.
Okay, so West Ham.
Correct.
Chelsea.
Correct.
Liverpool.
Correct.
Lille.
Correct.
Oh, where else has he been?
Do you know what? I forgot Liverpool.
I'm surprised he played for that many. Did he drop down to the Championship at some point?
You got one more to go.
A little sweary from Jim there.
I know. Don't often hear it, do you?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, this has been a great New Year's quiz, this.
Yeah.
You've done well, actually.
One more Joe Cole club, Jim, to rescue a bit of a consolation.
Yeah, I don't know.
And to win on aggregate over this festive period.
See, he must have been on loan somewhere.
He was on loan at Lille, if you've already identified. Yeah.
Rangers? I don't fucking know.
Incorrect.
Do you know what, Jim? Alex McLeish, when he was Rangers boss, talked about something.
Marcus wins 4-1. Marcus,
Tampa Bay
Rowleys, he finished his career. Yeah, but he also played Aston Villa and Coventry.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I don't remember him going to Villa.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
There we go.
Good effort, though.
Yeah. Marcus wins 4-1. I don't know if I've got a Marcus jingle. I don't know if I've got one. Hang on.
It might be in there somewhere.
It's there.
Yeah, it's probably in there somewhere. Come What's on. This one?
Il mio nome è Moise Keane.
Yeah, near right. enough.
Moise Keane.
Yeah.
Nice. Good to you got a mention.
It's worth mentioning.
We still respect. We wouldn't sub for a subbing.
No. It's worth mentioning, Luke, you said this off air recently, that not only are these jingles labelled in some sort of incomprehensible admin system that Pete's got, they're also all at different volumes.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. They are, yeah.
Can we have another one just at random?
Yeah, all right, hang on, let me find one.
Have a little spin. Have a little go.
Oh, I just clicked on one called Silence, and it was Silence.
Oh. It's the most descriptive one yet.
Yeah. I'll find one for you. Here we go. Let's find one here.
Come on. Here we go. They're going. Oh, yeah, that was for
the... It's for the live show. That's what
I've got. Happened now.
That's what I've got.
It's time
I cannot stress enough, they are named random words.
Yeah.
So you could be hitting anything. I have to make a note of them on my book to know which ones to press at the right time to do the actual show.
Anyone's labelled Gillingham in there?
No, thankfully not. No.
Thankfully not. Well, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to the preview show sponsored by Betway, of course, on Football Ramble Daily. I am back with Jonathan Wilson tomorrow.
See you really loud.
For Greatest Games, which you should get your lug holes around. Thank you very much, Luke Moore.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jim Campbell.
Thank you.
Thank you, listeners. See you soon.
This was a Stakhanov production.
See, this one, 1 minute, 9 seconds, it's just labelled fight.
Go on.
Hey, come on, fight! Bellen number one.
Oh, yeah, that was...
I don't even remember that.
Yeah, I remember that. Great memories.